Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's podcast from Tommy, Hector and Loretta Blewett. It's called Borussia Dundalk.
Well, tell us about the dole.
No, I want to go back there. What was that you told me years ago? I met you one day. I think you came out to the house then the day or two after, and you went, I was playing poker till 7 in the morning, and I won a wad.
Oh, yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
You won a good wad, Tom.
Yeah, so it was during the Galway race, actually, and there was a poker tournament on, and 350 people entered, and we paid somewhere between 50 and 100 quid a man. Or right. Woman to play.
This wasn't online now. This was
This was in the what used to be the Westwood Hotel on the road out to Moycullen. Texas Hold'em Poker. Started at 8 o'clock in the evening. I kept going into the toilet and looking at myself in the mirror and saying, do not give yourself an excuse to lose. Do not give yourself an excuse to lose. Because it's awfully easy in poker to take a chance when there's no need to be taking a chance.
Right.
Now, my technique has changed over the years. Like, I went into a casino recently in Birmingham, and my technique now is, because people are afraid to lose. That's what sometimes holds them back. I play poker now without looking at the cards. So everybody else thinks I've looked at the cards. I decide what they are before I start betting. So right. I'm acting like a lad who has two aces. Now, I might have a four and a three, but I'm acting like a lad.
And you haven't looked at the cards?
No, I haven't looked at them. So I'm confident. So people read this confidence off me and they say, that fucker has two aces. And that's the way I play
and
now.
And they fold.
And they fold. Now, if it goes, if they follow you all the way to the end, you know, you're as surprised as they are when you turn over your cards and you see a jack of spades and the two of hearts and you're screwed and you have nothing. But this particular time in the Westwood Hotel, I was playing straightforward poker, which is there's a scheme to it. They say there's all these books you can read about poker theory and poker technique, and you have to have a brain for maths, which I don't have. Fellas would be looking at what they have and the odds of that hand winning. They'd know, and they'd know the value of their bet, what they've been asked to play in relation to what amount is in the pot, and are those odds the same as the odds on this particular hand winning. It's a complicated. I'm no good at that kind of shit. I've no interest in it. It becomes too mathematical.
But you play
the greatest extra. I tell you, when I had money during the Celtic Tiger, you know, and it wasn't my money; it was borrowed money. The bank gave me a loan of it. The greatest extravagance I ever did was when I was in my poker playing days. I did a DVD signing in Cork City. There was a poker tournament on in the Silver Springs Hotel. Is it called the Silver Springs?
It is, down by the river on the corner.
No. What's the one in Monaghan? The big one in Monaghan? There used to be, it's the Quinn one.
Oh, Sleeve Russell.
The Sleeve Russell.
All right.
There was a poker tournament on.
You were in Cork.
I was in Cork. And there's a poker tournament on in the Sleeve Russell.
Go on.
So I hired a helicopter.
You did indeed.
Get
out of it.
And I flew from Cork City. There's a helipad outside the Sleeve Russell.
To play poker.
And I got knocked out after about 20 minutes. So, but anyway, This was in the Westwood Hotel. This is another night now in the Westwood Hotel. Do not give yourself a reason to lose. At 8 o'clock the following morning, this is after 12 hours of poker. There's only me and one lad left. And his nickname was the Cat in the Hat, because he wore a hat for the whole thing. And he was from the County Clare. The first prize was 13 grand cash. Second prize was 7 grand cash. And we've been playing for 12 hours straight now. I had any amount of Red Bull and coffee in me. And I just said to the Cat in the Hat, the two of us left, I says, will we split it? You know?
10 each.
We could be playing another hour or 2 hours or 15 minutes here. And we're both wrecked up all night. I says, will we split it? And the Cat in the Hat said, we will. And we just finished up right there and then. A fella came over to me with an envelope with €10,000 in cash in it. And I walked out of the Westwood Hotel. I was so spaced and excited that I couldn't stop telling people that I had just won 10 grand playing poker. I walked past a bus stop with three people. I said to them, what time is the next bus? I've just won 10 grand of cash and have it in my pocket. I went into the shop to get a can of Coke and I said, give us a can of Coke. I've 10 grand cash in my pocket. You know when you're not kind of thinking straight?
Yeah.
You're like a zombie.
You want to tell people.
You want it because you're so excited.
Where did you look at it first,
Tom?
So
I went home then. Yvonne was away, so just myself in the house.
Lovely.
And I spread the 10 grand out onto the mattress of the bed and I rode it. I rode the 10 grand in cash. I just took off my trousers and I just rode the mattress. No, I didn't. So I phoned Yvonne and I told her I was after winning all this money. And she says, well, that's never going to happen again. You're never going to win 10 grand in cash again. Because I'm not that good at poker, right?
Yeah.
So she said to me, you should buy something that you would never have bought. Have a real treat for yourself now, because this is like a scratch card thing.
Yes.
This is lotto money. So do something daft. Be irresponsible with the money. And I said, not a great thing for your wife to say to you. None of this kind of, we could use that for this.
Yeah.
Or,
fix
you know,
the kitchen. Or
we'll go on holiday. No, she said, do something irresponsible. So I didn't know how to ride a motorbike.
You didn't need any encouragement either to do something.
So I went to the local motorbike shop and I said, I've 10 grand to be bought. I just won a poker tournament. Give us a motorbike. And they said, I bought one for 8.5 grand. It was Suzuki Intruder 250cc. And he said to me, do you want to take it for a spin? And I said, sure, I don't know how to drive one. I says, can you deliver it to the house? And he said, I can. And that's the story of the day I won.
And
10
do
grand.
You still have the bike?
I've moved up now. I have a Vespa now. I've moved up in class.
I remember the day you came out to me that week after and you said, I won 10 grand in poker. I remember that.
Great.
And were you good at poker?
No, I wasn't really.
Do you still play it?
No, I do go into a casino every now and again, but I do that thing of I play without looking at the cards.
I was in London there. We were in London doing something then with the lads, Evan and Roscoe, and staying in a hotel right near Westminster Bridge, Big Ben out my window, lovely 5-star hotel. We were over in London for a couple of days filming and we had made the phone calls. And I'd rang Dipna, my missus, saying, good night now. Yeah, what a quiet night. We're just going to have some food here. And we're tired. We're tired. And yeah, we're just going to have a couple of bevvies in the hotel. You know yourself. How are the kids? Yeah, are they in bed? Everything okay? Right. You all set for tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. Is the gate closed? Yeah. Do you lock up? Yeah. Love you. Okay. Listen, we chat in the morning. Good night. Love you. Bye. 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 Love you. Bye. 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 So I turned to Roscoe and I went, right, lads. Are we ready?
I'm talking to the microphone.
Yeah, but the mic can pick it up, can it not? Don't worry, the sound will be fine. So I'm trying to do the bye, 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 so like it's a phone call. So I said to Roscoe on the voice, right, let's go. Aftershave on, deodorant on, downtown London. Here we come. Cut. That was at 11 o'clock. Cut to about 3:30 in the morning.
God.
We're in a casino off Leicester Square now. I'm going to have to stand up me mic for this because it gets really good, right? So we are there. Yeah, how you doing? Can I have another Roscoe? Yeah, soda water. Can I have two double vodka soda water and limes, please? Yeah, two more, please. Thank you. Okay, here we go. Last bets. Roll them up. 16, 70. Yeah, put 20 quid on 17, 25 and 6, 40 quid on 10. Put 5 on 4, 5 on 3. Can I have 30 quid on 33, please? Roscoe, yeah, another £15 on 70. Two vodkas and 7 up. So this, then half 4 in the morning came. We're still at the same table. Sorry, yeah, it's all free drink. Another two vodka. So anyway, didn't I do the fatal mistake? Where was my mobile? Left in the jeans pocket. And I'm leaning over the table going, yeah, £20 on 17. No, 20 another 5 on 17. 5 on 17, 10 on 15, 3 on 33 and 20 on 17. Didn't I hit the redial button?
Uh-oh.
And what time did you phone her at?
4:30 in the morning. Uh-oh. Dipna had the audience in the casino.
For how long?
She said it was at least 20 minutes. She just got tired of listening to the same thing all the time. Last bets, please. Here we go. Roll them up. Well, it was so funny. And then the next morning, I woke up. As you do, you have your brekkie. I reach for my Solvedine, me jocks. I'm in the jacks, cleaning my teeth, getting myself ready for the day. And I go, morning. And XXX on the text.
Yeah.
The text came back.
What time did you go to bed at?
Yeah. How was your night? I went, you know yourself. Quiet. Couple of bevvies in the hotel.
You liar, liar.
Liar. You're gone. Like, stick out your tongue. Look at that. And then I went, she went, did you make much in the casino? And I went, oh, fuck. So, and then she just said, you redial me on your mobile at 4:30 in the morning as you were leaning over. Because 17 for me is my lucky number on roulette. Roscoe's got me into roulette. And I used to like blackjack, but by God, do I like roulette. And we stack the chips on 17.
There's no technique to roulette though, really.
I don't know how.
You pick your favourite numbers, but we go for 17. And what happens then, we start having a few drinks and we start piling chips on like they're skyscrapers. Like we're building towers after tower after tower. Then some guy will come in and put 100 chips on to 17. And then it grows and grows and grows like bloody Canary Wharf. Like the IFSC of towers on 17. And then he spins it. And it lands on 15. But when it lands, it's just... Anyway, the golden rule is never, ever, ever, ever have your mobile in the jeans as you lean across the roulette table.
I have a question for you. This is the type of stuff that keeps me awake.
I get a headache with all the talking.
We have to give Hector a break.
No, it's four. We're 4 fucking hours into this podcast, and Tommy, I have another one. 16 espressos.
Save it.
Oh, we have to get back to that. That is, you're right, actually.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Joe Biden.
No, let's go for that.
Willie Joe Biden.
I'm able to save things till next week.
Hey, take that, you cunt.
Go on.
You got empty there, didn't you? There's another one, Navin. You emptied them there.
Go on, what's on your mind,
and
Tommy?
Another phrase in Navin was, Navin is a great time for pool and snooker. And if you were snookered, and it was very difficult to get out of. The reduced prices. Oh, you're going to fuck on Moscow there.
You need a fucking passport
to get out of that one.
Oh, here. Well, the boys in Equus was a great pub by the shopping centre in Navan. My father won a tournament there one night, and then he won in Johnny Higgins' left foot. And I remember being down in Equus, Tommy, you've played in Equus, but one of the boys would say, if you break off and you're really good, you should be able to finish the table. So if the break is generous and the balls are nicely spread around the table, the boys in Nam go, here, you're fucked now, get your tunic. Which means get your coat. Get your tunic, you're out of here. Bang, 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 bang.
Pure Shakespearean. This is the kind of stuff that bothers me now. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Is freedom possible? Like, do you feel like is
we were talking about this earlier, and maybe go back to the phone things again. Like I was saying, there's so much technology and so much happening in the world right now that a lot of it I've let it just go over my head, and I'm not on trend with everything that's happening at the minute because it's just too much going on. And you talked about
that's an age thing as well, isn't it?
Well, you're a lot older than me, so I'm not sure how that works.
Easy. There's an awful dynamic of word there. A lot.
A lot.
Easy.
No, I meant freedom. Is freedom available?
Is freedom possible?
But
So is it possible to feel like I did a gig in Mountjoy Prison, and I was talking to a fella there who had shot someone, and he was in for a long, long sentence, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, the person he was then wasn't the person he is now, and he's just. He wasn't trying to justify what he'd done, mm-hmm. or he wasn't trying to say that he was more important than the victim or the victim's family or anything like that. He was just saying, he was kind of describing how he got into that situation and in on drugs himself and in trouble with drug gangs. And they say, okay, you do this for us. And, you know, so he's, anyway, so, but he said to me, he said, I feel free in here. You know, now there's a thing going on in prison where the people inside in the prisons can sometimes have less stressful lives than than their families outside the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the wardens would be saying to me in a few of the different prisons that I've been to, you really only see the chaos that these people come from when their families visit them. And you might have a mammy coming to visit her husband, right? Bringing four kids all under the age of 10. And they're hyper and they're wild and they don't have enough money for the electricity, and three of the kids are getting in trouble in school and the other one is refusing to go to school, and they're just hassled with life. And your man is sitting there and he has no bills, he has no heating worries, he has no food worries, he's just sorted. Now there's a, you know, but this guy said to me, he said, I feel free in prison. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He says, my imagination. He said, I can go anywhere I want with my imagination. I can be in the cell tonight and I will go for a walk on a beach near Ballybunion. And I'll walk up and down and up and down. It just kind of struck me as a kind of very strong mental attitude. But one of the things I think that I'm really interested in is that notion of freedom and feeling free.
Mm.
And I sometimes look at animals and I go, you know, animals aren't weighed down by moral obligations or, you know, they're instinctually free. They're living the lives they want to live. Now, I'm living a life that is full of love and that is full of
whiskey
and cigars and full of responsibility. But the question of freedom comes into do you ever think about that? Like, is it possible to be free?
I don't know.
To feel free?
I think when you get like beyond a teenager, maybe, but maybe not even teenagers, because then they've got obviously other issues at school and whatever sometimes. But there is a freedom as a child, I think. But I think you lose that, don't you, when you get older? Because there's too many responsibilities and time. And
okay, so your man, I was reading an article by this guy last week who said that he got a given 10 grand and he bought a field in County Meath and he built a house on it, and he says he has no mortgage, so he's free to do whatever he wants. And I think a lot of us sign up, whether it's with credit cards or mortgages, we're on this kind of hamster wheel of debt and repayment that kind of stops our freedom a little bit, you know?
Absolutely.
And I have questions about that, you know?
I think everything that comes in, first and foremost, every day is what we see through our eyes. Our eyes then process it into the brain. And then the brain, I think it's up to us every day to see little signs of different things. Like I saw a guy there up the road. He was a man in his 70s and he had a high-vis jacket on and he had a brand new mountain bike, only recently. And we were on the way to football training. But the smile off this old man on a brand new mountain bike with a high-vis jacket, on one of those days, he was out at 7 o'clock in the evening, and the wave, and I just went, that's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Look at that. Did he feel free? Did he feel happy? It's just those little things.
He just stolen a bicycle. So
he just stolen a mountain bike.
But he was very responsible because he took a high-vis with
him. I mean, what is freedom? Where do we get their sense of freedom? It's from doing the little simple things, I think. If you allow yourself to see freedom, you'll allow yourself to feel freedom. I saw a girl the other day as I walked on the promenade in Salt Hill with my missus. She was marching up the road in a pair of brand new Doc Martens, Oxbloods, 15 hole, really polished. And she was headphones on. I said, there's freedom. There's happiness.
That's not freedom.
It's everywhere we look.
She don't know. It's about, she
that's
shopping.
Shopping. It's opening your eyes. It's opening. I saw.
She could have just killed somebody and recorded it and be playing the murder over and over.
Maybe
headphones.
She was free because she had.
I saw freedom. I saw freedom on a GA pitch a couple of weeks ago from one of our players that had broken his wrist in an AstroTurf soccer match just before the championship.
One of our
best players. For 7 weeks, he was in Plaster Paris. He came on there in a match a week ago and he scored 4 points.
Yeah, that's good.
That's freedom.
That's freedom.
That's freedom. I see freedom all the time because I allow my eyes to see freedom and happiness, which envelops
us. But I don't understand
us.
That. That's not really how it works.
Freedom is everywhere. We just need to open our eyes and feel it and assimilate. I see bumblebees smacking on fucking plums and flowers, and they don't give a fuck if anyone's watching them or if the humans are watching them. They're free. You're on about the daddy long legs. They're free. They're free to go in.
I'm comparing animals. The freedom of a bee to the freedom that a human being
of
feels.
Of course the bee doesn't have any mortgages or fucking worries like that. All he wants to do is get in and get out and get enough for the table. What do we really cherish in life? And what's the most important thing, I believe? Health and a nice fucking dinner at fucking 7 o'clock.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
A fucking dinner at 7 o'clock. A fucking get it into you. And someone fill the dishwasher. And we'll have a fucking cup of tea. And if there's a Jaffa cake you've smuggled in, oh Lord Almighty, that's freedom. And that's happiness.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It is. We
but
are simple
you.
People.
There's different people.
I've
different
written down here all me ones. I saw freedom at the Grand Canyon.
Well, I don't know how you...
Go on, yeah.
I saw freedom. I was crying at the Grand Canyon because I saw what Mother Nature can give to us. I had to sit there for an hour and take in my mind. My eyes were feasting on this geographical, incredible fucking thing. And that's freedom to me. Opens expansive space.
Oh, yeah. But that's like if you go for a walk on the beach and you just look out into the water and it's there.
If I saw freedom. I saw a family of redheads. The father had red hair.
The
mother had red hair.
The
children
were
9, 10, 14 and 12 and 6 and 4 years of age. And every one of them had red hair. And they came to Galway for a weekend a couple of weeks ago and I saw them on the street. And I stopped and I looked at them. And I said, a fucking family with all red hair on holidays, that's fucking class.
That's freedom.
That's freedom. I saw Colin O'Rourke score a point in the Centenary Cup final. I was in the Hogan stand off under the sideline and he popped it off the side of the boot. That's happiness and freedom to me. Freedom to me is everywhere I look. It is about letting your eye tell your brain how we manufacture our thoughts. This new podcast of well-being is powered by Eggs.
That doesn't make any sense what you've just said.
That's just you seeing things.
That's you seeing stuff.
I don't have any more. Have I any more? Have I any more?
That's sedum you're talking about.
What's the thing of that greatness?
Just you're letting your eyes roam free.
Yes, family redheads. Yes, I'm happy. I see freedom. Can I ask the listeners to open your eyes? And Tommy's posed the question. Are we really free? Everything is free when you let your body take it.
I am perplexed. They're not.
Open your eyes to
freedom and happiness. Maybe freedom, but what you
what
see, just because you saw a family of redheads walking down the street, how do you know they're free?
Nobody else
saw
them the way I see them because I know what I'm seeing.
Are you talking?
People fucking passed them by. I stood and watched them and I said...
No, they saw them.
No, they didn't because I was studying them because I've allowed myself to... I allowed my 360...
That made you happy.
Everywhere I look, I see happiness and we need to take it up into our arms and cherish it.
What are you on?
The redhead family.
But how do you know
they were brilliant
happy
because
and
there was
free.
Fuck all red-haired families with sick kids and they all red hair. Mommy's red hair. Daddy's red hair. That's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, but they might be having a hurry.
If that was a normal family with black hair, people would walk them by, they wouldn't even fucking say nothing. I stood and watched them.
But that's...
Because we don't see what's out there. That old man on a mountain bike.
This is your fault, the old Tommy. Man, you asked
the old man on a mountain bike and we on the way to training. And he fucking says, "How are you?" And he high-vis jacket with a 400-pound fucking mountain bike he probably bought in Maplin's or in or one of those places. Maplin's. One of those mountain bike shops that you can buy. Halfords.
When you buy power
he
tools.
Was as happy as he was when he was 12.
How do you know he
Nelly.
Was?
Because I know, because I see it in
maybe
my eyes.
Maybe he was cycling from...
Tommy, I can see happiness before it even shows itself.
What are you... You're relying on that book a little bit too much to get your
I'm
answers
ask
from
the
life.
Book, is there really happiness? Watch. I'm yes. asking the book of answers here.
Go on, open her up there. I hope it's not a complicated answer.
Is there? I'm holding it up to Larita.
What's
now.
Your question?
Is there really happiness out
but
there?
But he asked about freedom. So are you...
Okay, so we'll ask the book of answers freedom. You yeah. can ask two questions.
All right, okay. So
Tommy asked... Go on, ask. Ask
the one about happiness. Go on. So this is happiness.
Is freedom possible?
It's like an accordion. Yeah, yeah, you have one.
Is freedom possible, perhaps, when you're older? That's what it says,
oh,
perhaps when you're older.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely what it says.
And you can ask the other question now. What was the other one you wanted to know? He's in a state of what's that word?
I can't ask it too much.
Psychosis.
No. Okay,
book gets tired. So that's I think you are like you are, and I simple is not the word that I want to use. What I mean is that you do.
You'll see it today when you go into your parish. It's everywhere. Just open your eyes.
You have a remarkable facility for getting enjoyment out of simple things.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Maybe. Who does?
Hector.
Oh, yeah.
Really? To get to, you know.
But I want to see simple things every day. I want to see happiness every
day. But what happens
when
you
Because we're living in a world of too much sadness and misery.
But why?
Because we're consumed by fucking shite and we can't see the beauty that's around us all the time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lad was training. I'm coaching the under 16s and I've been coaching for a few years, but what's happening now on the GA pitches, and I'm hearing it now quite a lot with these young lads going, "Hector, Hector," and they're doing the signal, "Get me off, I think the hammer's gone." Oh. Hammer's gone. Oh, yeah. hammer. I was there, what's wrong with him? The hammer's gone. This is 15 and 16 year olds. Right?
And it wouldn't be gone at all. It's just they've seen it on the telly.
And then it's rehab and it's all.
I think I need a bit of dry needling, a young lad said to me. He's 15. I think I need to get dry needling. Jeez. I didn't even know I had a hamstring when I was 15. So now the whole team are fixated by buying these massage guns. You know the ones
I
want?
I see them.
Have
on
you seen
social
this?
Social media all the time, yeah.
This is what the young lad
And Rian, my eldest boy, comes in and goes, Dad, I think I need a massage gun. I said, what? I'm in watching the Champions League. I said, what? I think I need a massage gun. Will you have a look on eBay? I said, what's a massage gun? Oh, it's this thing you can use. You can work the hammer and work all this. And you can, I can do my own stuff, physio at night time. A massage gun.
It's gone from
a massage gun with different speeds on it. What does it do?
Foam rollers to massage guns.
The foam roller was a big thing. People rolling out. So you put the foam, the bit of waven pipe with a bit of grooves in it and stretching out. This is, it's become a fad.
Oh, they're absolutely obsessed with being injured as well.
And the gun does what?
The gun is a complete, you buy a kit where you have four or five different heads on it, and one for massaging, one for manipulation, and then these young lads are coming to the match and they're bringing in a massage gun.
And are they expensive?
You can spend 100 or 400 or 500 euro on them. You can go from something for 50 quid right up. But these guys are going, a 15-year-old said to me, Hector, I think I'll get a bit of dry knee. This is 2 days before the match.
It's crazy.
Are you seeing it up there?
Oh, but it's happening everywhere. I think, somebody was telling me in a local club that the physio bill was outrageous from, at the end of the year, because they were all getting physio from all ages up, from 17, 18 years of age upwards.
When is
physio, physio, physio. They're always getting physio rubs. I see it when I was involved in teams myself. They all need rubs. Like, they need rubs before the match, they need rubs after the match. What the hell, like?
But you're,
do you differentiate now being injured or actually just needing a rub?
Yeah.
We'd get up.
We'd be going out to the under-12 matches here in Furbo. There'd be fellas arriving in their slides with wash bags under their arms.
The sliders going to the match is a big thing, isn't
and
it?
The headphones.
The sliders.
Headphones.
Those flip-flops.
Walking from the pothole car park across the gravel to the pitch. Yeah. The headphones on. And
the sliders.
Sliders on the wash bag and the gel in the hair.
This is the way it's going now.
I was 39 years of age before I got my first rub off a physio.
Yeah.
For great. What? For what did you have?
My lower back. Spasms in my lower back. Spasms.
Lower back.
I love the feeling when you come out of a physio. You actually feel as if you've got no body just for a few minutes. I know I'm here, but I don't even know I have a body. Love that.
You're kind of disembodied. You're
I love it.
You're pure spirit like.
Yeah, I just feel as if the physio I go to is Adrian. He's got good, strong hands. The physio I go to, right, he's about 6'5". His sister's a physio.
Right.
The other sister's a physio. The dad was a physio. And the mother was a physio. He's from Headford, right?
That's not their surname, is it? Physio.
All right. Listen to this.
F-I-Z-Z-I-O.
When he was...
Katrina physio.
He's like
Morris physio.
He's a cousin of the Ezios and Nav. And the physios and the Ezios.
Danny physio.
But he told me a great story as he was manipulating the back of me back down the back with these strong Galway hands. He said, Hector, I was in traction when I was 14 years of age because I was so tall. I says, what, Adrian? And my head is stuck down between the gap?
Slip,
the gap.
The gap.
Mind the gap.
It's like being born.
Here I come.
My head is stuck down between the gap and the toilet paper's getting all wet because I'm salivating. Oh. This is lovely. This is lovely. I'm going, and he said, I was in traction when I was 14.
I hate to be a stickler for pronunciation, but I couldn't let that one go.
What one?
Salivating. I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't let it go.
Tommy, you're a stickler for pronunciation. Tommy, you're
salivating. It's saliva.
Between this and accents.
It's saliva and salivating. It's not.
But says who, like? Says who?
Now you've ruined the buzz of me
now
stuck
we don't
between
even know
the crack.
We don't know
cheeks,
where we're going.
We're all here. Everyone,
back to the story. Salivating. The toilet paper is wet because you're salivating. Not salivating. I hate that. I just hate pronunciation.
Anyway, he said, Hector, when I was 14, he was so tall back in the day that they had every day he'd come home from school and they'd put weights at the end of the bed, tie it to his ankles and stretch his back because physio wasn't big in Headford. Nobody was going, I think I need a bit of dry needling in 1981.
Sorry, what were they doing to him?
It's
called traction. Yeah. So they would tie weights and cement blocks to his leg.
What? Are you sure that's... Well, I don't know if that's...
And they would leave him in the bed.
And take him to a lake and then throw him in.
No,
get out of there.
No, this is true. It's called traction. It's called stretching the spine.
And but sure, he was already 6 foot one. Why?
Yeah, because
his
spine was expanding so big because he's from a big family of physios. They put him in traction. And then I said to myself, as he was manipulating the back of my body and he's going down strong and he's going, that's it, Adrian. There. Yeah, that's it. Oh, Jesus. He goes, a lot of knots in there now. We're getting right into it there now. We're loosening that up. I said, if he said he's in traction way back in the day, he knows he's a physio because he was in traction. He used to lie in the bed for days on end with cement blocks stretching
what
his spine.
What was the cause of your spasms?
Just a lower spasm in the back, lower spasmic back. I was 39 years of age or something before I go to first physio. These kids are going 14 years of age, 2 days before a county quarter final. I think I need a bit of dry needle.
Yeah. No, but what was the cause of your spasms? Like, were you having a growth spurt or... We just
at 39 years of age.
What was going on?
I think I was travelling a lot. I was doing a lot of driving. I remember, I was doing a lot of driving up and down to Dublin all the time, up and down. And that sitting at that little awkward pick in the back, lower back.
Yeah.
Growth spurt. Isn't that a great word, a growth spurt?
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
A fella brought me out fishing off the coast of Belmullet.
On a date? Like.
No, it was a few of us going, right? I was bringing two friends that weren't from around, they're from Ireland, like, but they weren't from around Mayo, so I brought them out fishing.
Strangers.
So this fella says, oh, I'll take you out in the boat, right? So, of course.
Three girls,
No, there was a man and a woman. So I said to him.
Swingers.
So the first thing. Was it? First thing he did.
Swinger Island.
We arrived out, anyway, got left off by this local fella from Belmullet at the boat. And they said, oh, is this the boat that we'll be going out fishing on? I says, oh, not at all. I said, this is probably bringing us to a right boat. Knowing fine well, it was one of those. He had two engines at the top of it. You know the typical boat you'd see on a lake?
Like? Boat, yeah.
A lake boat, as opposed to one you'd bring out in the sea. If you know what I mean. They're like little blue kind of undercarriages and they've like four little seats across them. I don't know. I'm not familiar with boating terms. I'm not sure.
And you're not doing a great job of describing this boat.
Just a small wooden boat.
Perfect.
With two engines.
Yes. You'll save a lot of time if you start off your description.
And he says, the first thing he says to us, I brought a packet of biscuits for you for the journey. I bought chocolate chip ones. Do you like them? I says, oh, Jesus, yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we got into the boat, life jackets on, and Shenda said to me, she goes...
Shenda?
Yeah. She goes, are we going out on this boat to him? Oh, Jesus, he says, we are. So anyway, he goes right out, like, and I mean, he's out in the sea at this stage, and I'm sitting there going, don't think I'm going to make it back. Just the water was coming right, splashing in at you, right? Your hand is here, and the sea, like, the sea is, like, so... scary.
Yes.
And here we are out in this little boat. Anyway,
there's no roads in the sea.
Whew. So we're out there and I'm thinking, that's
water.
It now. I'm dead. I'm not going to make it back and I have to make peace with myself now that I'm not going to come back here. So anyway, he land out, stops the engines, way out. Like you could see the cliffs. You could see the cliffs out at Ballycastle.
How many of you were in this small boat?
There was five of us.
A man and a woman and
Shenda was there, was she?
Shenda was there. Shenda. And Charles. Prince Charles, a prince from Nigeria. He was in the boat. Yeah. So anyway, there.
Oh, hang on a second. Whoa.
Shenda and the Prince of Nigeria.
Yeah.
We're on a boat with you in Clew Bay.
No, and out in the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, there's my microphone. It's just
yeah,
just
but what
weird.
Part? What?
Out in Belmullet, off the coast, like on the Atlantic Ocean.
And where? How did you get a prince from Nigeria onto a boat?
They're friends of mine. So. Which was very disappointing to be on this little boat, right? And here's your man. Typical Mayo, typical Belmullet, right?
So was this supposed to impress the prince? Like, was he supposed to...
Well, in Tommy, Belmullet do your terms...
Let Tommy do his Nigerian accent here.
No.
Go on, Tommy.
There's no need for just...
Go on, Tommy.
Well, welcome.
Not it.
No, go on, Tommy.
No,
he's not Indian.
What the fuck is this place? I am here...
He's got a very, his accent's very cultured because he's lived in Ireland for years.
Well, I can't do an accent unless I feel encouraged and confident.
The Nigerian prince. Do the Nigerian.
I just want to say that this has been a great day for me to go fishing with you in Belmullet, but I cannot swim. None of my family, where I come from, is a landlocked country. We have no sea. What? This water does not, It's salty water. I do not like salty water.
Shenda, Shenda.
Shenda. No, don't worry.
Chocolate chip cookies.
I am just asking Shenda why. Please, this is a dispute. This is a dispute between Shenda and myself. We will sort it out. I wonder, would you ask that vision man, please, could he turn the boat around and get us?
Leave it out, Shenda. Oh, poor old Shenda got an earful. I can't finish the story.
I don't know if this story warrants an end now.
Please finish.
So what happened anyway?
So anyway, we went out fishing. So he stops the boat, stops the engine, and.
Drive the boat! Drive the boat!
Stop.
And
he says, we're as well do a bit of fishing now, he says. Did you ever do a bit of fishing before?
I don't give a fuck about fishing. Get me back to land right now. Lagos. Prince Shenda. Princess Shenda and the Prince of Nigeria.
So he asked.
So we went fishing and the next thing, so he drops, you know, I said, oh, where's the fishing rods? Oh, just I have it here. It was just like a piece of timber about, that's that. Is that a,
did you not, charter this boat? Did you about pay a foot, this man
no,
for this?
No, about a foot long.
His piece of long fishing rod?
No, yes, it was a piece of timber.
Was he stabbing the fish or something?
With a load of like fishing line
tied onto
wrapped
it.
Around it and a few hooks on it. And I think I'm there going, oh Christ above, is this like?
What was fucking Prince McKembe saying?
He was, you can see, he was amazed by what was going on. So anyway, he dropped down the line. As he drops down the line, he says to me, do you see that milk carton over there? And it was one of those plastic milk cartons. Do you know what the handle on it?
What?
And he opens, there's a hole in the side of it, and he goes, give me that there. Now he says, I need to do a little wee wee. Right, so the boat stopped. He's going to
put it back. Put that back in your pants right now. What are you using that for a bit? What?
So he hands.
I'll show you a cock. I'll show you a cock. You could catch Moby Dick on this dick.
So he hands Charlie the fishing thing, whatever you call it, and he starts pissing into this little milk thing, right? And then he pours it out into the water and pulls up the fish. I thought Shenda was going to die right there and then. And he says to us, we're getting off the boat, would you like a couple of these fish to bring home? No, your grand thanks.
I have never in my life, Loretta, heard anything like that. I think that's one of the best fucking stories I've heard on this podcast.
Sorry, this story is so long it needs to be broke up into sections. But so we're on the way back, right? Charlie's starting to maybe get sick now because the boat is like...
Prince Charlie.
Prince Charles. Shenda's fine, but the boat's wafting, if that's the right word, waving.
Wafting is the word used for a smell.
But it moves, that's why.
Yeah,
could you?
I could let that go. Hector, I could let that go.
Would you let it
wafting.
Go?
Yeah, boat was wafting. Let that go. Yeah, wafting.
It sounds good. So the next thing he says, now I have a little treat for you, he says.
I did that in New Zealand.
One wafted. Time.
Yeah.
White water.
White water wafted.
So Jesus.
Me and my friend went white water wafting.
Wafting. So he thanks, just to clarify that I didn't say that. But he gives us little, you know, those little Goodall, I think they're little food colouring bottles.
Yes,
with the label taken off. And he gives us all one of them. That's a drop in a butchin for you now, he says, drink it up. So of course I drank mine and Charlie, you can take him off again in a second, said he wasn't sure if it was something he could drink.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get out of the boat.
Alive.
Alive. Thanks. I really did think this is it. Got out, he put us into his van then to bring us back into Belmullet town. And he opens the back door of the highest van and he says, "Now, ladies, you can sit in here." He opened the van and there was a side table, there was an armchair, and there was a bed in the back.
Bolted down
to the back of the highest van.
Classic.
With a duvet on it, the whole lot. And he says to us, "You can sit in there now, girls." So we sat on the bed. Then there's no windows.
No windows
or anything. So you're sitting there in pure darkness going, is this, like, the whole thing was not bizarre enough that we were on this boat.
In you go, girls. In you go.
And here he is.
Shenda thought she was being trafficked again.
Stop it. So then he goes, Jesus Christ.
This is not the first time I've been in a dark van travelling across land.
No, Shenda's not from Nigeria.
Oh.
So
where's she from?
She's from Dublin.
Shenda
from Dorky, is it?
No.
Go on anyway. So we
sat into the back of the van, and the next thing he's there swigging out of the bottle. I realise I didn't have to do that for purposes. This is not graphic. But Charlie says to him, "What is that you're drinking?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Just it's a bit more of that stuff we had out in the boat." He says, "Just another little dropping to warm me up on the way in."
So he's driving the van.
Drinking the punchine.
What a story.
And the three women are in pitch black.
Two of us in the back going, "Oh, for fuck."
And did you think you were going to get rowed or something? Was there...
No, he told me sometimes sleeps in the van.
In you go now, girls.
Yeah. So
can I ask you, are you still in touch with the Prince of Nigeria?
Yes.
Oh man, we're going to have so many podcast downloads in Lagos. I think, do you feel as if every day is the same?
Every day is
like Sunday.
How do you
mean?
As in, do you feel as if you do the same things every day and we're turning more and more continuously that programmed every day sometimes morphs into the same?
Are you getting bored? Like,
no, it's like, it's just like, I know that at the moment my alarm will set off for 8:45, right?
I've already been up for 2 hours at this stage.
Tommy's been up since the crack of dawn. I have the same little routines. And I feel as if every day I go over and I see what pair of jocks I've strewn on the floor. Right?
Would you put out your underpants? That, say you're going to bed, would you choose your underpants for the following day and lay them out?
No. I say...
Do you do that?
What?
Do you do that?
What do you mean,
do you do?
Do you leave out your underwear for the next morning?
Yes, I do. And socks.
Leave them out, like?
I leave them out and I leave them flat. I put them on the ground between the bed and the toilet.
And some people do that. Some people lay out their jeans, like, and as if there's a flat body in the jeans.
Yeah.
Lay your jeans or your trousers out.
You don't get them in the morning from the cupboard.
A cupboard down in the kitchen.
I can't make any noise.
Or drawer or whatever.
Beside the knives. I can't make noise when I get up in the morning. So I need my clothes. What I do is I have the clothes laid out in the order that I'm going to put them on the ground.
Yeah.
So, half six.
Up.
That's pure darkness. I get up. Okay. I take off my pajamas, my cotton, flannel, or linen. Three piece. I have three piece pajamas.
40 degrees outside.
Three
piece pajamas. So first thing I've laid out on the floor. I don't even have to look for them. I can feel them in the darkness. A pair of socks. Next thing, I have a pair of underpants.
Lovely feeling that. That's a lovely feeling.
Next thing, I have a pair of trousers. Next thing, I have a shirt. And I am fully dressed in the darkness without having to look. I've already decided on the colours the previous evening. I can't see the clothes when I'm putting them on, but I know what they are from the memory of the previous night. And I get out and I close the door and I walk out of the room at 6:32 and I am entirely fully dressed in silence. So don't you ever try and undermine the way I get dressed in the morning.
That is bizarre.
It's not bizarre. It's
Why don't you get up and stay in your pyjamas for a while?
Every man has a different way of doing it.
It's also not true.
Are you OCD?
No.
You got any OCD?
I have a lot of Spandau Ballet and some... But no, what were one of their songs? I like China Crisis. Do you remember them?
Look, Loretta. Every man is different. Every man has a different
tradition
in the morning. I will judge if I've worn that jocks the day before. I have the same brand of jocks now all the time. I know by the colour coding on them. if there's a little glint of light that comes through the heavy curtains, and it will shine onto me jocks. So I feel as if every morning I'll go over and I'll put on me jocks, and then I'll look for me happy socks, because for the last 19 Christmases, yes, I've been given boxes of happy socks.
They're awful crack.
I have.
I'm wearing a pair of them now.
So
do they
am
make
I.
you actually happy? Oh, look at
There's the happies on both ends.
Mine have cactuses on
they
them.
Have.
And Hector has kind of just amorphous cocktail chips.
Did you not know that we've been wearing all podcasts? Yeah. We've been having happy socks on.
Happy socks. I'll get you a pair.
So I know that when I slide out that little drawer, there's 50 crack pairs of socks looking at me. Andy Warhol designs, yeah. Bachelor's Baked Beans. So I'll take them, I'll put them on, me jocks on, and then I'm out. Then I go downstairs, and this is what I'm doing every morning. It's mad. And then I have me porridge, and I put me porridge in the microwave, and then I'll reach for me vitamins. And then I'll put out me vitamins in front of me. One vitamin B, multi-complex. Two turmeric to lower the cholesterol a bit. Three omega-3 fish oils and one glucosamine fucking bullet.
What's that for? What's a glucosamine bullet?
A big fucking white tablet that helps with your joints. And I'll muster them up like a little thing when it's like 33 seconds, 32 seconds, 31 seconds. I get all my vitamins together and then I'll put them in my pocket And then I'll take me porridge. No, I'll go over and I'll rob the missus's chia seeds. I'll rob the bottle, get all her fancy millets, linseed oil and chia, cranberries and cruiseberries. And all
Acacia.
Acacia. And it's all milleted down. You buy a bag of it for 160 euro, right? And you're only supposed to
it's delivered at the house in a truck.
You're only supposed to, the linseed oil and sesame flower seeds and it's you're only supposed to put a tiny tablespoon in. I will fucking pour half the bucket in there. And then I'll go in. And then I'll go in and I'll sit on front of Sky Sports News. I'll put on Sky Sports News and I'll put me
it's
seven.
About 12 o'clock at this stage.
I'll put me seven vitamins beside me on the puffet. And then I do it every morning. I just eat me porridge, vitamin. Eat me porridge, glucosamine. Eat me porridge, turmeric. Eat me porridge, there's that one. And then three, and then finally, because the ones, the omega ones are easy to swallow, I'll do the three at a time of the omega. And then I'll go, right. And that's, every day is the same.
That's because you're not travelling for the last while and you're not used to this routine.
Out of your normal rhythm.
That's just, I know, I just think that sometimes, I don't know what to do different in the mornings.
Well, maybe if you didn't decide the night before what you were going to wear, it should be, you know.
No, but
exciting.
The jocks thing is a great
no,
thing.
No, but I tell you, Larissa, that thing, my father used to do it different now. My father, of course, is very conscious of making noise in the morning as well. What my father used to do was he would get undressed.
In the car.
No.
About an hour before he got home.
My father would get undressed at 8 o'clock in the evening, right?
In front of everyone.
And what he would do then is he'd put on the set of clothes that he was going to wear the following day. Like the full three-piece, like the old cardigan, the jacket.
Get a feel for it.
And he'd wear it to bed. So he wouldn't have to get dressed in the morning.
Jeez, that's good thinking.
And he'd go straight into the day. He'd wake up fully dressed and go at the day then and wear the clothes out till 8 o'clock. And then he wouldn't have that problem, you see.
But I think you can't decide the night before what you feel like wearing the next day. You know, if you're in bad mood, you might want to wear dark colours. If you were in a good mood, you might want to put on a bit
of men don't have moods.
We are.
Yeah, they do.
We're like a line on the horizon.
We're just constant.
You're just psychopaths all the time.
Constant, reliable, trustworthy, unshakable.
So you never have any bad days? Or never?
You're kidding me. We have the clothes decided the previous day.
We can't afford to have bad days. Once we get our jocks on, we know there's a day ahead of us.
We can't be waking. Do you think we'd leave the day to chance like that? Oh, wait, to see what type of. You decide the night before what type of mood you're going to be in. I would go to bed some night thinking, I'm going to be awful crack tomorrow.
And then
I would be awful crack. And then sometimes I would wake up and I'd say to the children, you better tomorrow, I'm be a thundering cunt and don't come near me. And they don't.
Right.
And that's the way we work at Narcos.
Right. I was that's very, very organised.
It's like an emotional weather forecast. I tell them all what type of mood I'll be in tomorrow.
Right. And the clothes will... display that as well.
Well, everybody, that's all from us this week. We hope you have enjoyed our storytelling and yap, and God bless, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.